God. Well, good morning.
Morning.
We got the second service people here, huh? Can wake up at 9:30? I understand. I had problems getting up myself. The alarm just kept going off. Well, praise God. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy that you guys are here. I am here, however, just to preach on love.
Amen.
And my love walk and your love walk. What I believe, you know, conquers all things, which is love.
Amen.
Love conquers hate. Love conquers darkness. Love conquers everything. I was in a place 3 years ago that I thought that I could never return from. I was down on the dumps. I had just lost my pizzeria. I had just lost my house to a fire. And I realized that I had nothing else going for me. So I decided, once the toilet flushed, I might as well just let it continue on. And I got into drugs and alcohol and drinking and going out and partying. And after a while, it got to the point where I was left by myself. Here I am on a couch, all alone, ready to commit suicide, attempting suicide. And I had swallowed a lot of drugs that I shouldn't have. And I was laying on this couch and realizing that I think it's the time, my time. I don't want to be here anymore. So laying on this couch, I fell asleep and then woke up. I sat up, and for some reason I felt a little different. And as I looked down on the couch, I realized I'm still laying on the couch. And at that moment, I realized that I'm dying. I could see my eyes rolling back in the back of my head, and I got so scared that I called out to God. I said, God, if you're real, now is the time to prove it to me. I need you to prove that you are God and that you are alive. And just at that moment, my phone went off, bing, and I get slammed right back into my body, and I wake up and I look at my phone and I get a text message, and it says it's from an unknown number. I don't remember it. And I was just like, it said, I don't care where you are or what you're doing, but just know that we are praying for you and we love you. And all of a sudden I text like, who's this, you know? And it was Pastor Peggy. I haven't talked to Pastor Peggy in a while by that time. Things were going pretty dark, and of course, when you're in a dark place, the last place you want to come to is the light. So seeing that, I realized that God was there. He was calling out to me. He gave me my answer. Come back. So I talked to Pastor Peggy the next day, and I was just like, I'm ready. I want this change. I'm proven. I want to give God my life. This time, I'm for real. And now you have to understand, Pastor Peggy has heard this phone conversation from me thousands of times. 2 o'clock in the morning, Pastor Peggy, I want you to know I love you. But I'm going to change my life around for God. And every time she was like, okay, Erwin, well, you know, come on in. And every Sunday, I did not come in. I would come every once in a while. And it just never clicked until I finally had nothing left but God. So I come into church that day, and I sat there, and I'm listening to the word, and I'm like, I miss home. This is my home. I miss it. So I sit there, and right after that, Pastor Peggy's like, let's go get something to eat. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. So we go, we're sitting at Carrabba's. Yep, Carrabba's. I get special treatment, just to let you guys know. She takes you to Olive Garden, she doesn't like you. So. or Chili's. Yeah. You know you're in the favored list when you go to Carrabba's or 2J's. But so we're sitting at Carrabba's, and I'm you know, sitting there, and I'm giving her what happened, telling her how far I've gone down, and I can't get up anymore. I'm But I'm willing to change. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to rededicate my life to the Lord. I'm ready to do it. Now I couldn't lie. Now I was face to face with Pastor Peggy. But Pastor Peggy's love walk is what changed my life. It was her. It wasn't her saying, well, you got to get sober. It wasn't her saying, well, you got to stop smoking. You got to stop, you know, hanging out with all these people. She didn't say any of that. Her love walk was, what can we do to help you? How can God help you? And for me, I just sat there and I was just like, wow, I'm thinking I have to change my life around. But Pastor Peggy saw the future. She realized that he doesn't need to change right now. I don't need to change him. God will change him. So what she did was she goes, what can we do to help you? I said, I got to get out of this house. There's drugs everywhere. I can't do it. All right. So they pulled me out of there. We went and picked up all my stuff, and they put me up in a hotel for a little bit. And I started noticing that, man, it feels good to wake up without a headache. You know, like, it feels really good to wake up early. And Pastor Peggy just continued on loving on me and showing me that, God loves you. And little by little, I started making these changes. Like, I'm going to quit drinking. I quit drinking. I'm going to quit smoking. I quit smoking. Well, actually, that took a lot longer than I expected it to be. But it actually came from a phone conversation with Pastor Peggy. We were doing the Daniel fast at the time, and I really needed meat. Because the Daniel fast, you're not supposed to eat meat. And I really needed meat, some kind of form of meat. And I told Pastor Peggy, I was like, I will quit smoking if you just let me have shrimp. And you know what Pastor Peggy tells me? You should quit smoking anyway. Okay, so shrimp it is. Fine, no problem. So I start changing. I'm losing weight. I'm feeling great, you know. And then I start noticing I'm hungering more for God. I want more out of God. And my lifestyle changed. Everything about me had started to change. So much so that one day I found myself preaching a Wednesday night at BVC. And I look back and I'm like, wow. And then I always said to myself, well, you're not anybody unless you preach a Sunday morning at BVC. Because in my eyes, I stand where my mentor, Pastor Peggy, stands. I stand where her brother stands. You know? I sat there and I watched Pastor Mark growing up as a little kid and realizing that's what I want to be. Going away from God, but then coming back full force, ready. And now I'm where Pastor Mark used to stand. I'm where Pastor Peggy stands. I'm here preaching to you about our love walk and how we need to line up with what God wants in our lives. One of those things I think I ask myself, like, what is God's interest? What is he interested in the most? What does he love the most? So I go back to the basics. Everybody knows John 3:16. It is literally right at the basics. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So a couple words stick out here. So God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, that is you, that is me, that is the man on the street corner, that is anybody holding hands with the same sex, that is anyone, whoever believes in Jesus. That whoever doesn't say only the Christians. That one doesn't say people that don't smoke, people that don't drink. That doesn't say any of that. It says whoever believes in him. So if we're trying to line up with what God is lining up with, our love walk, what does God love? We would say, who's with God? Who's on God's side? Well, let's go to the next thing. Well, let's ask ourselves, What would Jesus do? WWJD. Well, we know what Jesus would do. It says that he laid down his life. He died for all of our sins so that we can live eternally. I like to think of it like this. Jesus would rather die than live eternity without me. He would rather die than live eternity without you. So we see that God is lined up, or Jesus is lined up with what God wants. You. He wants me. He wants Joe Schmo walking down the street. He wants all of us to have eternal life. It's our love that he wants from us. It's you. It's the soul. It's the person that you are. So if God loves the lost, we would say, the lost souls, and Jesus loves the lost souls so much, who's the next person in line? We got the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that is here with us, guiding us, teaching us, giving us that little, hey, go talk to that guy. And you're just like, no, I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit says, go talk to that person. Tell them about Jesus. In John 10:10, by the way, if anybody wanted to follow along, because I may go quickly, you can go on the Bible app, and this message is under My Love Walk. So in John 10:10, it says, 10:18, John 16:13, sorry. But when the Spirit comes, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide to you, He will guide unto you all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears. He will speak and disclose to you what is to come. What is to come? Well, we know when we go to the end of the book of the Bible, we know what's to come. We know that this world is going to get much worse before it gets better. We know that soon enough, Jesus is coming back for us. And something I started noticing is that we don't need to bring people to our Baptist church, our Pentecostal church, our non-denominational church, our Lutheran church. What we need to bring people to is Jesus. We need to bring them to the realization that someone died for them so that they can live eternally. We need to realize that we're not here to change someone's life. We're not here to say, hey, I'm going to help you change your life. I'm going to get you sober. You're not going to do anything. God is the one that does it. Jesus is the one that does it. Your job is go to talk to them, bring them in, and let God take care of the rest. Oh, you smoke? Oh, you drink? It's funny. Come on in my church. We love people like you. It's true. Look at me. And I like to say, look at David Witte. Funny story. The day that I came to rededicate my life, I went up and Pastor Peggy didn't do an altar call, and I'm like, all right. So I said, Pastor Peggy, I want to rededicate my life. She goes, okay, go to David Witte. I was like, what? David Witte? I used to hang out with David Witte. I'm still surprised he's here. And it was funny that I said, hey, David, I want to rededicate my life. He goes, all right, brother, well, let's do it. And I rededicated my life. And he goes, so what made the change? And I asked him, I said, man, I finally hit rock bottom. And he goes, oh, really? Did you see my face too? I was plastered down there as well. He said, there's an imprint of my face on rock bottom. And I was like, well, there's two of us now that went to Believer's Victory. But so we, you know, I sit there and I think to myself, what is it that I can do to change someone's eternal destiny? And I get into the Bible, and everything that you hear that Jesus always talks about is love. He says, for your love you know, by your love, they will know that you're my, that you are my disciple, that I was the one that sent you. By your love. So we've got God, who loved us so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus, who loved us so much that he died for us. The Holy Spirit, who's here with us, guiding us, telling us where to go. Well, let's who else is involved with God, what God loves? Us, the lost souls. Well, we're not lost anymore, but the lost souls. Who else is in line? Well, we would like to say that the angels of heaven. In Luke 15:10, it says, "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." They have a party because you decided to give your life over to God. Amen. Can you believe that? You got Michael, you know, Gabriel, these big angels, these archangels that are dancing because someone gave their life to the Lord.
Amen.
And they're here helping us, guiding us, protecting us as well. So we got God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the angels. Who else cares about the lost? We got the devil too. Satan cares so much about the lost that he does not want you to come to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world, if you guys look at that word, God, the God of this world, that's little g. It's not big G. They call the devil the God of this world. He has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the devil is trying to blind all of us from coming into the realization that Jesus is the way to heaven. The unbelieving, the Bible calls them the unbelieving. What do you think we can do in order to bring someone into the realization that God loves them, that he sent Jesus for them? We show them love. It's our love walk. A lot of people don't want to hear Bible scriptures. They don't want to hear tongue-talking, Bible-toting. They want to hear what God has done in your life. They're from the show me state. Show me, and I'll see. God hasn't shown himself to me, so how do I believe in something I've never seen? Well, you've also never gone to church, so come on in. And then let God show them that he is real. Because your love, like I said, will always fail. Your love goes with feeling, goes with the mood, goes with the time. Your love is forever changing. Well, I love this person today. Oh my gosh, that guy's here again. Like, that's how it is though, if you think about it. You love one person. We've all been in relationships, right? We've all looked at a woman and we're just like, or a man, and we're just like, oh, I love you. Oh, if you say one more word. And that's how it is. Because your love is forever changing. It's according to your mood. But God's love is always the same.
Always.
It never changes. Do you know why God's love is always the same for all of us? Because he sees Jesus when he sees you. God doesn't love this Christian more than he loves this Christian. He doesn't love that lost soul more than he loves this lost soul. He loves you all the same because when he sees you, he sees Jesus. And he loves Jesus the same. That's why his love will always prevail. The love of man will always fail. So trust me when I say, just get them in the church and don't worry about anything else. Let God take care of them. Help them out. Give them a ride. Do whatever you got to do. Don't dedicate your life to it, but to that one person at least. Get them here. Let Pastor Peggy do to them what she did to me. You guys, it's not about glory. It's not about riches. All that stuff comes later. biblical prosperity, all that stuff comes later. Healing, all that stuff comes later. What you need to worry about is what God loves. And what God loves is the lost souls. So if we got God, we got Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we've got the angels, we've got the devil, who else cares about the lost? In Luke 16:10, there's a story, or 16:19, I'm sorry. There's a story about a man, that's his name is Lazarus, and a rich man. It's a story of Lazarus and the rich man. In this story, there was a rich man. He was dressed in purple, gold. He was royalty, everything like that. He used to eat in the finest foods, things like that. And Lazarus was poor, and he used to eat off the crumbs that would fall off the man's table. And it got to the point where they both died at the same time. And they both went to their eternal place. Lazarus, the poor man, went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, says, went to Hades or hell. And the rich man calls out to Abraham and says, Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down so that he can dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. So thirsty because he just needed a drop of water. And this man screams out, please send him. And he says, Abraham says, that's not possible. Remember when he needed help, you never helped him. Now he's in a place of help. And unfortunately, you cared about yourself. So this man says, okay, Father, do me a favor, or Abraham, send someone to my father's house because I have family there, brothers, that need to know of Jesus so that they can never come to this place. And Abraham says, well, we've sent people, but will they still listen? Some people won't listen to you, and that's okay. So what we see here is that the people in hell care about the lost as well. They care about who we are, that we need to come to the realization of Jesus Christ and His love. So we have the next people in line. We have us Christians. That we are to go into the world and preach the gospel of God, of Jesus. Tell people about the lost. Or tell people about Jesus, what He's done, that He gave His life for you. So if we have God the Father that is so interested in the lost, and His love is for the lost, Jesus died for us. God did what He can do. He sent Jesus. Jesus did what He can do. He laid down His life. The Holy Spirit is here helping us. The angels rejoice with us. The devil doesn't want us to go. The people in hell it's too late for. And the only people that can do something, what are we doing? We sit there and think to ourselves, I love God. Amen. Praise Jesus. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I'm good. No. Because you spend more time at your job than you do anywhere else. Your love walk is being seen by, or under the microscope, I'm sorry. Now you're under the microscope, and they're watching you. Because they would love to, answer it, go ahead. I'm just kidding, I've always wanted to do that, actually. Check. So we want to get lined up with what God loves. But we want to think to ourselves, what is it that we have done to prepare ourselves to bring people to the realization of Jesus Christ? How many books have we all bought? And I'm guilty of this myself. How many books have we bought on prosperity? How many books have we bought on healing? How many books have we bought for ourselves? How many books have we bought to lead someone to Christ? I was just saying this morning, I said, there's no book out there that says, you know, leading someone to Christ for dummies. I think we need to get together and do it. But that's we got to see as Christians where our love lies. Where's our love walk? What are we doing every day? You are Jesus. You are His hands and feet on this earth. You are the people that bring the gospel to here, to there, to remote parts of the world. What does your love walk look like? Let's get down to it. All right. So, if you worked for, I don't know, let's say Ace Hardware, and you drove Ace Hardware's truck, you wouldn't cut somebody off because, hey, that guy works at Ace Hardware, and on the back of the truck it says, hey, how's my driving? How am I doing? Now let's say every day you're wearing something that represents Jesus Christ. What if you had one of these on the back of your car? It's got your ID on there. It's got the name of the church that you go to. It's got the phone number. How would your driving be then? Let alone knowing that your name is on there. So when they give the phone call to Pastor Peggy, that's the one place I don't want to be. When Pastor Peggy says, come in and close the door, that's when you're like, what if this was on the back of your car? What if you had a shirt with this on the back of it? You guys have a uniform that you wear every day. It's the uniform of Jesus Christ. You're more worried about keeping your job than you are worried about somebody else's eternal destiny. Now, don't get me wrong. I've done the same thing. I've sat there and thought to myself, well, hey, man, you got to change your life before you come right back to God. I've told people that. I've thought it myself. I'm like, I can't go back to God without being sober. I know that for sure. Wrong. Time after time, there's been people that have changed their life around just by just getting in the doors. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't clean a fish before He caught it. He had to catch that fish first, reel it in, and then clean him out. So for me, I just had to come. That's all we have to do. We just have to get people in the door. Look at what's going on right now in Israel. That's in the back of the Bible. It's talking about these wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nation. Jesus Himself said it. Nation against nation. Rumors of war. Israel's under attack. It's here. It's now. Our job is not to, we're going to rise up against this and stop it from ever happening. We're going to eradicate homosexuality out of America. Wrong. What our job is to rise up and say, it's too late. We're here to preserve this earth. We preserve it until Christ comes. But now it says, too long. This is what we say is too long. Have we sat around and worried about what church we go to, where we're from, what's going on in Israel? It's not our problem. It's our problem. Too long have we sat beside and worried about our own problems. Our problem is that there's not enough people in this church. There's not enough people in the kingdom of God. We need to worry about bringing people into the realization of Jesus Christ and everything that He's done for us. We need to stop with these petty battles. Christian amongst Christian. Well, we believe this and we believe that. No, the biggest thing is that you believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins and rose again. That He went down there, kicked the devil's teeth in, came back up and said, "This is what I give to you, eternal life. Death has lost its sting."
Yes.
This is what he gave you. And this is what he gave everyone else. Every person in your job, every person at the park, when you're going to Publix, all of these places, there's people that need Jesus in their life. Riches, glory, that comes later. But the thing about it is, you need to remember that we're here on this earth not to be rich, not to be glorified, not to do anything. We had a commission that was given to us by Jesus himself. He said, "Go and make disciples of my people." He didn't say, "Go and make Pentecostals of my people." He didn't say, "Go and make Baptists of my people." He said, "Go and make disciples of my people. Go into this lost and dying world." One thing that Jesus always said is just, "Come as you are." What is it? "Give me your tired, give me your broken." Jesus is an investor. He buys ugly houses. He finds something broken, fixes it up, and turns it into a treasure. The only thing is, Jesus is one of those investors that keeps everything he has. We're his treasure. We are his everything. And if you want to know that, if you want to know how that is, you just give your life to the Lord and you see. You show people, "Hey, this is what I believe. This is the person that I believe in." Don't argue with these people. Don't argue with anyone about Jesus. Do not argue about Jesus to another Christian in front of someone who's a non-believer. A lot of people quote scriptures when they're leading someone to the Lord. For me, I give them my testimony. My testimony is real to me. That person sees me. He sees that my testimony is real. God saved me. He sent Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for me. He changed my life around. We don't argue amongst each other as Christians because that's our love walk. We want to tell people the basics. If you're going to quote scripture, you tell them John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." That son is Jesus. For me, I tell him my testimony. I tell him John 3:16. And then I say, "Hey man, if you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, he will change your life." You can guarantee them that. That's the thing. With you, you can't guarantee it. But with Jesus, you can guarantee that he'll change their life. Because it's no longer up to you, it's up to God, and God doesn't fail.
Amen.
So, for me, I want to line my interests up with what God is interested in. He's interested in love. His wrath was satisfied the day that Jesus' blood was spilled on this earth. He was the one that said, "They can't do it. I have to do it for them. I have to be the one to lay down my life because they will always do it wrong." But now, I'm no, by far no perfect Christian. I still sin. It happens every day. She wasn't paying attention. But we sin occasionally, but that's okay. Because all we have to do is ask for forgiveness. And that's all we have to tell these people. Listen, you don't need to straighten your life. You don't need to do anything. Just come to God. Lead these people to the Lord. If you have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord right then and there, do so. Pray with them. Get them in. Now, after you're done praying with them, let them know where you come to church at. Bring them here. The reason why you want to bring them here is because you would never bring a newborn baby. After you have a newborn baby, you're not going to leave it at the hospital. All right, see ya. You're going to bring it home with you. You're going to get it, you let Pastor Peggy nurture, teach, bring this person into the realization, you know, that Jesus died for them, that he loves you, and then let them clean up their own life with Jesus. It's not up to us. We're not supposed to hound people. We go, we make disciples. We get them saved, get them in, let them get discipled. There's steps for all these kind of things. Let's just love on people. Remember your love walk every day. Pastor Peggy says, look at those things and say, what the bumper stickers that say, get salty. Yeah. We're going to get salty. We need to preserve this earth. Let's bring more people into the kingdom of God. Funny thing is there's no get salty things in Oklahoma. The salt life? No, there's no salt life. Yeah, weird. Landlocked state, no ocean in sight. But you know what? I got the living water inside of me. Let's bring them in. Let's get them saved. I read the back of this book. We win. But don't you want your neighbor? Don't you want your family member? Remember, you're someone's prayer. My mother prayed for me every day for me to be saved, for that someone would come into my life, that I would come into the realization that Jesus loves me. There's mothers out there in this lost and dying world that are praying, send someone my way, so that my son, across my son's path, so that that son or that daughter knows you. We're answered prayers. It is our job to answer those prayers. God, when he was looking at the world and he was like, how is this world so bad? He said, God, what are you doing? He goes, send something, do something to change this world. And he said, I did, I sent you. I made you. I created you. So you want God to do something? It starts with you. Let's get together. Let's unify. We're united in the kingdom of God. We should be united here on earth. You see somebody from another church, you tell them, hey, how's it going, brother? Pray with them. It don't matter. Because when you show love to someone else, that's shown. Because people want that. I'll give you one last testimony on my love walk. My mother and my father just got married. For those of you guys that know me, my mother and father have been divorced for 13 years. And I saw a miracle from God. That I saw two people that were once married come back together after 13 years of divorce. That all stemmed from not me telling my mom and dad, hey, get back together, guys, come on, you know, let's get unite the family. No, what it was is that it stemmed from a text message that says, hey, I don't care who you are, or I don't care where you are or what you're doing. Just know that I love you and God loves you. That was a text message from Pastor Peggy, which in turn turned me watching Pastor Peggy's love walk in turn made me change my love walk. So the one day that my dad saw me here on a Wednesday night preaching the Word of God, when he remembered that he used to talk to me through a plexiglass wall when I was locked up in jail. And he said, my son is preaching the Word of God up on a pulpit right now, and I remember everything that he's done. That was a show me kind of thing. And he said, I want that in my life. That night, my father rededicated his life, gave his life to the Lord. And I led my father in the sinner's prayer. The man that gave me life. Helped give me life. My mom, you know. Gotta give credit to the mothers, I'm sorry. To the one day that I'm getting phone calls from my mom saying, hey, I saw your dad in church today. He was looking so handsome. Mom? to getting a phone call later on. Oh, wow. I just saw your mom today. She was looking so pretty in church. Dad? Like, who is this? Who are you? Oh, what do you think, man? Should I ask her out to dinner? What? Gross. I don't know, you can't get relationship advice from me on dating my mom. That's weird. Then I started realizing I'm looking at my dad like I'm looking at every other guy that thought that they could date my mom. I'm like, no, you can't date her. I'm getting phone calls from my sister. Did you hear about what your mom and dad did the other day? They went out to dinner. I know, I heard. Weird. So I'm hearing this, and then I'm standing there taking pictures, and I'm witnessing my mom and dad get married after 13 years of divorce. Goes to show you what God has brought together, no man can separate. Come on, amen. But what that was the love of God shown through my love walk that stemmed from a text message to prove to you that love will always, always, always prevail. Always. God's love prevails. And this is what we need in order to show people that Jesus died for them. Remember, every day you're wearing a uniform of Jesus. That your love walk will determine someone's eternal destiny. I can't emphasize how eternal means. One day we are going to live forever. And someone is going to come up to you and say, do you remember me? You led me to the Lord that day. I'm going to remember my conversation. I'm going to look at Pastor Peggy and say, thank you for showing me the love that God gave me. The showing me the love that I deserve. So in closing, I say, go out. Make disciples of Jesus' people. Go out and find someone who needs God, who needs Jesus. And show them your love walk. And get them in this church. And prove to them that the love of Christ will always prevail. And with that, we'll bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, Father. We thank you for your love that you've given to us, Father. We thank you that you are here with us now. Father God, I ask you, if there's anyone here that wants to change their love walk, that they want to walk with you, be with you, show you, or have you show them how much you care for them. I ask that you just give them the strength. Would you give them the power to raise their hand? So for those of us here today in attendance, if we want this love walk, if we want this love that God has given us to be in our lives, if we want God to change our eternal destiny so that we can be soul winners, so that we can be someone who goes out into the world and preaches, so that we can speak to someone. If you want this in your life, if you want God's love, I'd ask you to raise your hand. I see your hand. You can put it down. Now there's another group of people here that you may have already given your life to the Lord. You may have already said, yes, I accept Jesus, but you walked away from it. There's something that Pastor Peggy always says. It's a you can always go 1,000 steps away from God, but he's always one step behind. I ask you now to just take that one step, turn around, and come back to God. Rededicate your life. If this is you, please raise your hand. All right. Well, we can all raise our heads now. I'm going to ask you guys to join me in this prayer. We're all going to stand up and do this because we're all unified. We had people raise their hands, and we're all unified in the church of God. And repeat after me. Father God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. I believe that he is the Son of God, that he died, and he rose again 3 days later. I believe that Jesus washed away all of my sins, and that I am made perfect in the eyes of God. Amen.